On today's episode of Talkin' Tom, we're watching Charlie Wilson's War, starring famous actor Tom Hanks.
Charlie Wilson's War is a 2007 biographical comedy drama directed by Mike Nichols and written by Aaron Sorkin.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates.
We're good.
What's up, Hanks heads? Welcome back to another episode of Talkin' Tom, the Pod Hanks Tomcast, where we watch Tom Hanks movies and then we talk about them. My name's Josie.
I'm Daniel.
And we're just two pals who are spending yet another afternoon together talking about Tom Hanks.
And we're going to eat a donut later.
Yeah, we got donuts.
Pretty good day. It's a really nice day in LA today.
It is really nice out.
We're in the mid-70s.
Yeah, it's like perfect.
I went to Kohl's. I bought some shorts.
Kohl's?
They have good shorts for 30% off. I don't know what to say. This is not sponsored.
Yeah, our first sponsorship is Kohl's. You know, Kohl's does that same thing that like Mervyn's did. Did you know Mervyn's?
I had Mervyn's in Oklahoma, yeah.
Hell yeah. What a weird name.
We had Dillard's, JCPenney, and Mervyn's.
Yeah.
I had never heard of Macy's. Macy's was new to me when I moved to Chicago.
Okay.
I didn't know Macy's was called Bon Marché in my town.
Interesting. And then they became Macy's.
Oh, okay. I think a Macy's opened in Oklahoma later.
Yeah.
But I had no idea. I didn't know the Macy's Day Parade was put on by someone. I just thought that was the thing. Yeah.
Well, they do this thing where they say everything is like a really crazy expensive price, but they always mark it down.
Yeah. Oh, and it gets me.
Yeah, because you feel like you're saving money.
I see the numbers, and it looks, I feel great with the amount of money I'm spending.
You're like, I mean, these shorts originally cost $65? Yeah. I gotta get them.
I'm paying $15, and they probably cost $10 in reality.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Whatever.
It's great.
You need some shorts.
I need some freaking shorts.
I've been doing bathing suit shopping lately.
Oh, that's a tough market, so tells me Rachel.
Yeah.
Because there seems to be a whole ecosystem of like, do you tops and bottoms, and like, you're going to get the same one. They're going to mix and match. You're going to, and they charge you. I've seen how they charge it to screw you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the act of trying on bathing suits is humiliating. I don't care what you look like.
Mm-hmm.
The fluorescent lighting in a Target stall is unforgiving.
Do you think they would put money into making changing rooms really lovely so that you see yourself and you're like, I need this?
Yeah.
Because even if it ends up, it doesn't look the same outside. You know, I like that I'm pretending like I know anything about bathing suits the previous thing.
I'm ready for you to start a swimwear line. Okay. It sounds like you have a plan.
Yeah, just charge them together or a deal, mix and match deal, kind of like a 6-pack of beer.
Yeah, you buy them those packs of like Fruit of the Loom.
Yeah. Like get a variety for the same price.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
that's good. Good business. Well, I know what we're doing after this.
Yeah.
We've established something great.
So today we watched a movie called Charlie. That was weird.
I don't know what that was, but okay.
Today we watched a movie called Charlie Wilson's War.
Yes.
Have you ever seen this movie?
I've seen this movie a few times.
Okay. I'm pretty sure I got this movie as like a stocking stuffer 1 year for Christmas.
Was it because of your Tom Hanks love?
Yeah.
It's a really interesting, in the realm of Tom Hanks movies, a really interesting choice.
Yeah, I think clearly my mom found it at a pawn shop.
Or she was like at Target and they're like, that's Tom Hanks. There you go.
They're like, we're giving this movie away for free.
Right. Yeah, I didn't see it in theater. I don't remember the first time I saw it. I think I saw it around the time The Social Network came out because the guy who wrote it, Aaron Sorkin.
Oh, shut up. Like, it's Aaron Sorkin?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes a little more sense.
So I became like aware of him around, I mean, I had seen some of The West Wing, but I kind of became aware of like him as a writer. So I was like, well, I got to see his other stuff. And so I watched it then, and then I've watched it a few times.
Okay.
It seems to come back in my life from time to time.
Well, why don't you sum up the movie for the few unlucky people who haven't seen this?
So Charlie Wilson is a Texas Democrat congressman whose claim to fame is that he is constantly reelected, but has seemingly done nothing of note in his elected terms, except that he's a womanizer, he loves to party, and he loves to use drugs. So the movie is about how he and some other key players create something called Operation Cyclone, which is a secretly funded... They're secretly funding freedom fighters in Afghanistan to get the Russian army out of Afghanistan. And in turn, that leads to kind of the end of the Cold War. Oh,
so it was a good thing.
That's part of what I think is interesting about the movie, because I think it is a good thing to a degree. I mean, I don't know enough about it, to be honest.
Yeah.
I know this, and this paints it as this like very... seems like a good thing, and I don't know if that's supposed to be kind of false advertising of it. Because from my understanding, from when I was reading about this before the podcast, is this that power that they had, and the fact that after that America just ignored it, led to the rise of the Taliban. Now I don't know if that's 100% true, because I've seen some conflicting stuff, but apparently there's a lot of sort of there's a lot of questions around that idea of like us doing this and then ignoring it led to the rise of power of civil war in Afghanistan that led to kind of us having to get re-involved.
Right.
And I think, I mean, I'd like to hear, I need to 100% fact check that, but from my understanding, that was a lot of the controversy about it and controversy with the movie, because the government and like Russia had some things to say about the film because...
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Well, I had a hard time paying attention to this movie.
It's just a heavy, it's a political...
Just not really the type of movie I gravitate towards.
No, I feel you there.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Charlie Wilson.
Okay.
Interesting role for Tom.
Yeah.
Kind of hot.
he produced this movie.
Okay, good for him.
So I'd be really curious to know what drew him to this story.
Yeah.
Because I can't quite tell if we're supposed to think Charlie Wilson is like this... Because to a degree, I think to a group of people, he's sort of a hero. He like made something happen. At the same time, like, is that good or bad?
Yeah.
When maybe that's what we're supposed to be painted with. Like, I'm not quite sure how I'm supposed to feel in the end. And maybe that's the point.
That's an interesting take.
Because it's less preachy than I expected going back to it. And it's more like it underlays everything with humor. So there's a tone that confuses me as a viewer of how I'm supposed to leave it feeling.
Yeah. I do think my favorite parts were the more humorous ones.
Yes.
Specifically the scene where Gus comes in with the bugged scotch. That was fun.
It's like an old, like a farce.
Yeah. Jinx. Oh my God. Yeah. That I like when you play with that kind of the entrances and exits like that. And when Charlie realizes that it's been bugged and he's like, it's funny.
So I guess we should break down
The
characters. No, because
yes.
I think that's I think the movie lives and breathes with the characters.
Yeah,
because everyone in it has we've had a few movies in a row of like very stacked cast.
What time of year did this come out?
This would have been 2007, so it came out Christmas time.
Okay, so it was an Oscar.
Yes,
hopeful. Don't think it has an 82% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, it's like a pretty
well highly regarded movie.
Yeah, I haven't. It's one of those weird movies where I see those reviews. This is 2007, so this is like the start of me when I became like very involved in reading stuff. But this was the movie that I didn't really hear people talk about, and have not heard people talk about.
No,
until when Philip Seymour Hoffman passed, it came back up as one of his best roles. So I think he won an Oscar for it, or he got a nomination for it.
Oh, okay,
for supporting actor.
Interesting.
Yeah, we have our core players. We have Tom Hanks, who is Charlie Wilson, as we said before.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned this is a very different Tom Hanks role.
It is. I like it because he's kind of like a sexy dad.
Yeah.
But like, he's like a bad boy, but he's also really smart and he's well-spoken. I don't know. He's like, smarmy is not the right word.
If he knows what's he's clearly a very intelligent man and is using that to get away with doing next to nothing.
Yeah.
But then he finds this attachment to this cause, and there are people that are putting these things in his ear too. But then, so it's sort of, he's sort of a strange, like, is he a bad guy? Is he a good guy?
And it seems like, I guess, well, what's the time period of this movie?
The 1980s.
He seems kind of like the ideal of like what I would assume men would be like, this guy's living the dream. Like,
yeah.
beautiful, surrounded by beautiful women. He's got a lot of money. He's got a lot of influence and power, but not enough to like really be totally in the spotlight. I mean,
I think that's what he wants. He has power, but it's unquestioned. It's unchecked.
Yeah.
I think there's a conversation about that where when he's pitching the idea of how he can make Operation Cyclone happen, is he knows all these checks where he can make things happen and people won't notice. Mm-hmm. How he can put this amount of money into the budget and it'll actually be this amount of money that's substantially higher because no one will check him on it. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I took, and speaking of Tom Hanks in it, our first note that we shared when we were watching it was we both wrote about that in the first like 10 minutes of the movie.
He drops trow.
Yeah, we see Tom Hanks' butt.
Do you think that's really his butt? I don't.
I don't know. I didn't even consider the possibility of like a stunt butt.
No, I think someone of his caliber, I don't think he does his like nude scenes.
He never has an actual nude scene in any movie, does he?
You'd think I would know that. I don't think so.
But maybe, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think it is.
Let's put that on our list of stuff we'll ask. Yeah. Was that really your butt?
We'll ask him to explain himself for a bachelor party.
Yeah. That's young in the career. I'm typing, was that really Tom Hanks's butt in Charlie Google. Wilson's War? Just to see. I'll find out. We can keep talking.
Cool. So then I guess I'm just looking at like the Google list of the cast. Julia Roberts is next billed. She plays someone named Joanne Herring, who I don't really know what her deal is.
She's the sixth richest woman in Texas.
And are they like together?
I think there's like a romantic thing between them.
Like they hook up, but I don't think they're like committed.
No. She is a super conservative, but she's really pro arming the people that they're trying to. She's pro. I can't get my words.
No, I get it.
But she wants to fund that, and she's putting that in his ear because I think he brings it up. But she's like very pro for it.
Yeah,
she's a very good thing.
She's very intelligent for someone with her. You would think that someone like her with all this money. And that she would just be like, I don't know, throwing dinner parties or whatever. But she seems to actually want to make something of herself.
Yeah.
And she's got her kind of her eye on the like, she knows the political world, I think.
And she knows how to like use someone like Charlie to get it done.
Yeah.
Or just get what she wants, potentially.
I was really fascinated by the scene. They must have, Tom's in the bath, or Charlie is in the bathtub and she's putting her makeup on.
Mm-hmm.
And the shot is just like, of the mirror, it's like intoxicating watching her put her makeup on like that. And she uses the little like safety pin to separate her eyelashes. I could watch that forever.
Yeah, Julia Roberts is sort of just like such a screen presence that everything works. It's really great pairing. It makes sense why they brought her, or Tom cast her for Larry Crown, which we'll get to someday.
One of the greatest romantic comedies.
This is also directed by Mike Nichols, who's most famous for The Graduate. Have you seen The Graduate?
No, but okay. I know what it is.
I think you would dig it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I found an article about Julia Roberts. It says, Julia Roberts avoided the set of Charlie Wilson's War during Tom Hanks' nude scene.
Oh my God, it's really his butt?
So it's real. She said she was too embarrassed to watch her co-star bear all for the movie, which was released back then when this article was released. I wasn't around for Tom's butt shot. A memo was sent around saying, if you can't handle it, stay home. So I didn't go in.
If you can't handle it.
That's interesting. Robert has vowed never to take her clothes off on screen after stripping off in Pretty Women, claiming that actors who do so are not being true to their craft. Huh. That's very interesting.
Wow, I love knowing that.
I like, there's two levels there. I like her stance, and I like that Tom Hanks did it.
Well, I also wonder why they would, like, send out a memo being like, basically anybody can watch, but if you don't want to, you don't have, like, why wouldn't they close that shit down?
It's like protocol. That is really interesting. I didn't think about that.
It's a different time.
10 years ago.
Yeah.
They just kept it. They shot it as if it was in the 80s where they could do whatever they want.
The next is Philip Seymour Hoffman, right?
Yes. Who is a national treasure.
Oh, his character's name is Gust with a T at the end.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't know that.
He is just...
Ever character.
I mean, he's one of my favorite actors of all time, and everything he's in is like elevated because of it. And the second his introduction in the room where he's arguing with the actor, I forgot his name, from Mad Men, where they're fighting, and he mentions, like, the last time you were here, you broke my window, and they just start screaming at each other, and the way that they use Sorkin's dialogue to make this, like, it's like a physical battle with words, ending with him once again smashing the window, and then, like, I really love when he walks out after that fight, and he goes to one of the secretaries, and he's like, how did I do? And she's like, gives him the thumbs up.
Yeah.
He's just such a, I don't know, I watch everything he's in because he elevates the content.
He's kind of unrecognizable in this movie, to me at least.
I could just gush and gush. And it's so great. Him and Hanks eat up this dialogue. So anytime they're on screen together. Like, I have my issues with some of the pacing of the movie. Even though it's a short movie.
Is it short? How long was it?
96 minutes or something.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But anytime they're... Like, if more of the movie was them on screen together, I think it would have been even... Would have been greater for me.
I honestly don't feel like the movie got started until the bug was planted.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair?
No, yeah, they set everyone up and they kind of establish stakes, but it seems like it takes a long time to... But maybe that's there's things like that I look back and rewatches and wonder if that's intentional, if that's supposed to make me feel like that's what they have to do. You're supposed to feel the time pass in this way. So if it's not working, then I don't know if it's succeeding in what it sets out to do.
I feel dumb that I hadn't really made the connection that it was Sorkin, because then I probably would have paid a little more attention to the dialogue.
It is one of those, like, in rewatching, it is a thing where most everything spoken is worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
But if it doesn't grip you, because I have that thing where this doesn't grip me the way, like, Social Network does.
Right.
Where there's just an instantaneous, and it's both, they're both like subject matter that are not inherently interesting to me, but because of how the movie was crafted, it works. So I don't know what it is about this that doesn't hit me the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So then we've got a couple other characters. Amy Adams is in there for a while as like an advisor or some sort.
Yeah, I think she's his assistant even.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's...
And this is her second Tom. She's in Catch Me If You Can.
Oh, that's right, where she smooches Leonardo.
But she doesn't have much screen time with Tom in that one.
No, really only room with all the money flying around, right?
Then we have Emily Blunt makes an appearance.
I love her.
She gets gorgeous. A steamy scene. Yeah, with Tom.
Tom was like sticking his finger in her belly button. Oh, to be that belly button. Ew, I'm sorry. For my parents who listen to this podcast.
We have to fill this time with something. We got to give the people what they want.
Yeah. Shiri Appleby was someone I recognized. Her character's name is Jailbait. At first I was like, huh?
Oh, she's one of the... In the farce scene?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where he just yells out Jailbait and they all run in. So bad.
Oh, boy.
Lots of other people...
Yeah, it's a stacked cast.
John Slattery. He's the guy who has like the golden shower thing in Sex and the City. That's what I know him from.
I've never seen Sex and the City. I'm sorry.
It's fine. It's outdated itself at this point. Yeah, stacked ass cast.
It's a very stacked cast. I agree.
So something that I noticed that I liked a lot about this movie was just the general like color palette, like the way that it was colored.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like a painting to me.
It's a very pretty movie. It's weird. I feel like there's an extra challenge for movies like this that are 95% dialogue that you have to really take into like the craft of how you frame things to keep things interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it could be really boring.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. It's a very pretty movie.
What do you think the ideal like audience of this movie is?
I don't know. It came out around Christmas time. So it was pitched as an awards movie, but also like kind of a prestige awards movie. So I would think an older crowd or like film kids who are aware of, you know, if they're paying attention to screenwriters or directors. But it's strange because it has a cast of, I mean, Hanks has just done multiple like blockbusters in a row. And then to come back with this, I don't quite know. I imagine they probably tried to sell this as, oh, hey, he's back doing a comedy type of thing.
Yeah.
Like, political comedy.
I can, like, see the trailers now where they just show, like, everybody. Like, American Hustle, they do, like, all the faces of, like, all these famous people.
To me, it shares a lot of similarities to, I think it wants to be something like Doctor Strangelove. Like, sort of this satire on politics. But it's using a real event that seems to be fairly accurate versus I mean, some of the stuff I read about the differences, but for the general idea of the story, I think it wants that sort of, like, take a good hard look at yourself after you watch this type of moments. And I don't know if it works like that for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did it work for you?
I don't know. It feels weirdly slight. Like, when it ended, I didn't feel
anything.
And I wonder if it's because of the ending. I think if what I read was true about sort of how it affected the Afghan people after, which they don't spend any time on, it ends kind of on, like, a happy note to a degree. Like, we won. They won. It sort of, I don't know, paints a weird picture if I'm supposed to feel, because if it ended with, like, here's what this did, here's what America did, here's how it screwed us over, here's the dumb things we did because of it, then it would be interesting to linger with those questions of, like, what did I just watch, and how did I get there, and how did I feel about those people getting there? Was I rooting for them? And now I'm like, well, that was stupid of me. Mm-hmm. But since it doesn't have that, it kind of wraps up neatly. Feels, I don't know, kind of slight to me.
Did you find yourself rooting for any of the characters?
Only Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah.
I don't even know why. I just like
his persona. I just liked his sound of his voice in the movie. It was so like gravelly and like, I like the physical like embodiment of him. Definitely enjoyed him.
So we sort of talked about at the beginning, but yeah, the basic thing becomes Charlie and Gust work together to fund the Afghanistan fighters. Because the Russians are using helicopters, gunships, and we see a few shots of them mowing people down. Like, it's pretty horrendous, their attacks. They seem defenseless against them. So Charlie gets them these, like, missile launchers that are contract to helicopters to turn the tide. And it ultimately works because it says that this effort by Charlie ultimately evolves into a major portion of the U.S. foreign policy known as the Reagan Doctrine, under which the United States expanded assistance beyond just this group of people and began supporting other anti-communist resistance movements around the world. Charlie states that senior Pentagon official Michael Pillsbury persuaded President Ronald Reagan to provide the Stingers to the Afghans. So there's a lot of, like, you know, questionable political things mm-hmm. that I think it wants to bring up. And I do wonder if you had a knowledge of this event before watching this, if you had no knowledge of this event, would you say?
Oh, I had zero knowledge.
Do you feel like you have much more after watching
it? None.
So I kind of wonder if I were to, like, read a book on this, or read the book this is based off of, and come in with the kind of the insight, if this would be a much more effective movie for me.
Interesting.
And maybe that's my fault. I should have.
No.
I feel like I paid attention, but.
Yeah, I don't think I did.
I think there's just a point where, like, if it's not working for you, it doesn't work, and you can't defend it. It just, that's what happens to you.
I tried.
Yeah, that's why we both tried. We both wrote the same note.
Yeah. I guess I felt the same way, where I kind of walked out of it being like, I don't know. There's a reason that I had never seen this movie before.
Yeah.
Even though I got it as a Christmas gift, basically. It just never.
Did you watch the one that you got as a Christmas gift?
No, it was on Stars, which I have, so.
Okay. It just would have been nice. That could have been the round robin of everything.
Rip the plastic seal off of it.
Yeah. It's just still sitting. Is it still in your home?
Somewhere.
Home?
Yeah, my parents' home. I'd have to buy a DVD player.
I was going to go over, and I'm just reading this stuff from different articles in Wikipedia. But some of the criticism for this movie were, it says some Reagan-era officials, including former Secretary of Defense Fred Eichel, have criticized some elements of the film. The Washington Times reports claims that the film wrongly promotes the notion that the CIA-led operation funded Osama bin Laden and ultimately produced the September 11th attacks. Other Reagan-era officials, however, have been more supportive of the film. Michael Johns, the former foreign policy analyst at the Heritage Foundation and White House speechwriter to President George H.W. Bush, praised the film as the first mass appeal effort to reflect the most important lesson of America's Cold War victory, that the Reagan-led effort to support freedom fighters resisting Soviet oppression led successfully to the first major military defeat of the Soviet Union, sending the Red Army packing from Afghanistan, proved one of the most important contributing factors in one of history's most profoundly positive and important developments. So there's a whole whirlwind of opinions on that thing. I don't know what my opinion is after that, because I only think of the aftermath of it, so watching the how it happened only makes me think of the end result.
I agree.
So I don't know. It's a hard thing, because it's obviously a very political film, and I don't quite know
what, where to fall.
We're in the aftermath of everything, and we just have how we grew up with it.
Yeah, exactly.
It also was banned from Russian theaters.
That's very funny to me.
Because it depicted the Soviet Union unfavorably.
Tom had
rather violently.
I mean, with the Da Vinci Code in this guy can't really catch a break.
He's attacking. What a straight. Because if someone's going to lead that march and you're going to be mad at them, be hard. It's sort of like when I get mad at Kevin.
Oh.
Last about 5 seconds because then she makes a face, and probably the same with Tom Hanks where you're like, I can't be mad at you.
I know you didn't mean any harm. Whoa, is that an elephant?
Oh yeah, we got Kevin a big old elephant for after her surgery.
That is bigger than she is.
It's from IKEA.
Oh, cutie.
And she really likes to attack it.
Cute. I guess, where do you see this movie falling in the grand body of Tom Hanks's work?
It's tough for me because I would kind of rank, like if I give it a star rating, I would put it like a 2.5 or 3, where I sort of see there's a lot to like in it. I love the characters in it, and the dialogue obviously is great. But as a whole, it kind of falls in, like, I would say the lower middle spectrum. Like, it's not something I look forward to revisiting. Though now I'm sort of convinced that I should read about this event and then rewatch it, and maybe I'd understand it then. But it doesn't, yeah, to me, it's not, doesn't work all the way for me.
Same. It's honestly not even worth having an opinion on, to me. I found it so uneventful and so my eyes are like rolling in the back of my head. It was hard to watch.
I had a friend over when I was watching it, and she fell asleep through,
I think
most of it. And then when it was ending, she's like, wait, how much was I asleep for? And I was like, I think the whole movie, pretty much. So
it took me like 3 separate days to watch it. I started it and I was like, I don't want to watch this.
Well, it's hard. I started watching it and taking notes, but then so much dialogue happens that I realized taking notes during it was useless. So then I would pause and kind of get my thoughts together. And then I was like, I don't really know what I'm trying to say. It's a tough one. This is a really interesting one in regards to the podcast, because the first one we're like, I don't know. I don't have a ton to say about it.
Right.
I would actually be really curious for audience members that are listening that have a strong opinion one way or another to hear sort of the takeaway. Because like, what are we missing?
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just not our cup of tea.
That could be it. I know this like genre is never what I choose. If I'm going to like go see a movie, this isn't what I would choose.
Yeah.
But
it is what it
whatever.
Is.
Whatever. It's a movie. So kind of a short discussion, right? I feel like something we don't really talk about enough. So we've made it to 2007 in Tom Hanks's
filmography.
I was going to say bibliography. That's not right. And we started in what, like 1980 something?
Yeah.
That's nuts, first of all. Almost like 30 years of TV or a movie. That's like gnarly. We've seen him kind of grow, but I do feel like, if I'm being honest, at this point in his career, 2007, he's picking some boring stuff. And I want to know what the deal is.
He seems like a big history buff.
Yeah.
From Saving Private Ryan on, just his involvement in what he produced. So imagine he's playing characters he once seen to some degree on screen, but most of them are historical people or stuff like The Da Vinci Code, which is sort of just mystery thriller.
Yeah. And I wonder, I think I even said this in the Da Vinci Code episode, like he did that role maybe so that he could do something like Charlie Wilson's War.
Yeah. I mean, he's produced this, so who knows? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he took kind of some breaks at this time period. We've kind of jumped a few years, but I wonder, his caliber as an actor is sort of unquestioned, so I wonder who he has to prove, if he's having to prove himself to anyone, or if it's just a money thing of like, to fund this, I have to do this type of thing. Yeah. But there's also 2-3 Da Vinci Code movies. So.
That is so awesome.
But also, it's probably a great time. We'll talk about that in our next episode about Angels and Demons.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's got to be, regardless of what you think about the movie, that's got to be a great time. Hanging out in Rome or Paris and getting like exclusive things into the Louvre. That's pretty dope.
Big explosions.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I've kind of been uninspired with the most recent movies, basically, except for The Da Vinci Code, which is a revelation. But
is there something you want to see him in?
I don't know. I think I want to see something different. Like, every character that he plays lately, am I, like, gonna regret saying this? I just feel like it's like the same dude. It's not. Like, obviously there are differences and he puts so much into each character. And we've gone through and we've discussed at length like how each character is different. But I want to see him like do something nuts. Like, what was that movie where he had the big mustache?
Lady Killers.
Like, I didn't like that movie, but that character was fun. So maybe that, I want more like weird stuff.
Panache, yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything coming up that's particularly weird. There's a movie called Hologram for the King. Uh-huh. It's in like 2015 or 16. It's a really interesting indie movie.
Yeah.
But not weird in the same way.
You know what? I'm looking forward to...
like Cloud Atlas.
Yeah, just because it's so... Like, that's weird. And he's like so many characters.
Yeah, I don't know what... I'd love to see him in... I don't know. Star Wars?
Yeah. A musical? Actually,
that wouldn't work. People are like...
Yeah, we Tom know Hanks who he is.
Be hard to turn off your brain.
Yeah. Well, is that it?
I think that's it.
Sorry, Tom. I hope you don't listen to this episode. Even like, shoot, what's that? Oh, Joe vs. the Volcano. That's like one of my favorites. Yeah. I guess we don't really need another romantic comedy tom-com.
We'll get one with Larry Crown.
I do like that movie.
And we have some cool stuff. I mean, our next episode in a few weeks will be Angels and Demons.
Yes.
So back to back, pretty much.
We bookended Charlie Wilson's War with
Robert Langdon trilogy, I guess.
Yeah.
to be fair. And then we get Toy Story 3.
Okay. Okay.
And that lines up because you're about to leave town.
Yeah. So our episode schedule is going to be a little different.
Just a little skewed. But then Toy Story 4 releases, if I would have typed it right, Toy Story 4 release date is June 21st. So that should be perfect because we can do, you'll come back, we'll do Toy Story 3, bam, Toy Story 3 will come out the week before Toy Story 4, and then we'll go see Toy Story 4, and then we'll do a special Toy Story 4 episode.
That will be nice.
I'm very excited.
Something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Well, another thing we always look forward to at our episodes is our favorite segment called
Hank's Happenings.
Not much really going on. Tom is obviously leading up to Toy Story 4, so most of the news that we get are like little trailers and things.
Yes.
But Universal did just pick up the rights to the historical drama News of the World, which Tom Hanks has been attached to star in.
I think we talked about that might be a thing. No, not the official thing, but I think that it might be a thing like a while back.
Yeah, that sounds kind of right. It's always like he might be in another historical drama and they all like blend in together.
We're getting close. It's about time we have the trailer for the Mr. Rogers movie.
Yeah.
It's got to be getting
close. A Beautiful
close.
Day in the Neighborhood or Wonderful Day. Yeah, that's going to be exciting. Is that this year?
I think so. I think it's later this year.
I'm going to cry.
We get two times this year. Toy Story and...
Aw, it's a good year for us.
It is a good year for us and the good people of the world.
Yeah. Well, great. That's it, right?
That's it.
Okay, so that's it for today's episode.
Where can you find us?
We have so many places. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, SoundCloud, all under the same handle.
Podhanks Tomcast.
We've got a website, talkintom.com. That's talking without the G. And you can find me on Instagram under the handle Sugar and Satire.
Mine's just my name, Daniel Ott.
Yeah, that's easy enough.
And my dog has an Instagram, Detective Kevin. Kevin spelled weird. Kevynn, because she's a lady.
You're doing some bold stuff.
Yeah, I posted a picture of her with a basketball today.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Can't believe I became that guy that fast. But
whatever.
That's fine.
When you love something... you have to share it with the world.
They're going
to
say, let it go. And I was like, no.
No, she's staying.
She's going to stay.
All right, guys. We'll see you in a couple weeks. My name's Josie.
I'm Daniel.
Hey, thanks for listening.